All right, hello and welcome. Super Bowl champion Eric Davis is sitting in for Colin Cowherd today. And we're joined by Hall of Famer and another famous ED, Eric Dickerson, the original ED, and the founder of the big league, Jason McIntyre, that started in the NFL. All right, with Odell Beckham Jr., who was just voted the 8th best player in the league in the NFL Network survey of players, Odell's talents is undeniable, but so are his antics. From the kicking net proposal to his infamous Miami boat trip before last year's playoff, even still, when you look at what he's done to start his career, it's clear Odell's on a historic pace with the most receptions, the second most yards, and the 5th most touchdowns of anyone through their first 3 years. All right, the Giants have a big decision to make over the next few months or the next year, whether to give Odell Beckham Jr. a long-term contract extension. Look, again, his talents are undeniable. I've said this, and they think I'm crazy for saying this, Eric. Skipping the OTA is not a big deal to me. The boat party before the playoffs, not a big deal to me. The tattoo he just got with Mike Tyson. He's got Mike Tyson biting Evander Holyfield's ear tattooed on his thigh with Lil Wayne. That, to me, is the big deal.
Bob Marley, obviously. Don't forget about
Cuckoo
that.
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I said, this is the red flag that makes me say, I don't know, man.
It's a tat. That's all it is. So stop it with that. And they have no choice. They need to sign this guy up. He's the best player on that offense. He's an exciting player. He gets it done on the field. He's a young player that is now maturing. He's no longer that young guy that you can say, well, he doesn't get it yet. He understands that he's a veteran, and there are guys now that are going to start looking at him and expect more out of him. But the guy produces. He makes plays on the field, and you're going to do it. And as far as his antics, even the league promotes this guy. The things have changed. When we played, it was about the team. It was never Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning. It would have been the Patriots versus the Broncos or whatever. That's how they promoted it. Now they promote players, even if they're not on a good team. And this guy, even overseas, they send him overseas. The league sends him overseas to promote Odell Beckham, so you can't get upset with him for promoting himself.
Eric, feel free to run over there. It won't be the first time.
You know.
That's why I'm calling him.
You know, I, in a sense, I do agree with him. I mean, they have to pay him. I mean, he's a game changer. You know, it's certain guys that come along sometimes once or twice in a lifetime, and they have one of those players on their football team. That
Odell.
He's a game changer. He's a guy that line up out there one-on-one with him and say, okay, I'm going to cover you man-to-man the whole day.
Ain't gonna happen. I got to see that if you do that.
Ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. He's a guy really that's a game changer because, see, when you look at as an offensive player and a defensive, when you go in to make your schemes, you know who can play and who can't play. I mean, the tattoo – man, you know, I think probably in a couple of years he'll look at that and what the heck was I thinking? I mean, when you get older, and he's getting older. I mean, he's not 21, 22. When you get older, you start thinking things a little bit different. How old is he right now?
24.
24.
Well, he's still a kid.
He's a baby.
He's still a kid. He's still a kid. When I was 20, I wouldn't have no tattoo.
And that's why I would say don't commit to him yet. I mean, no. Eric, you used the word maturing. The last time Odell Beckham played a football game, guys, the GM, the coach, the quarterback, the franchise quarterback, all said, hey, we need this guy to mature. Remember that after the playoff loss, they all kind of took shots at him, saying he needs to mature. Have we seen the maturing?
But they're not talking about his play. They're not talking about his play.
Well, we know the play.
Mature is off the field, but his play on the field. You know, look, he's a football player. Now, what you do, as long as you don't get locked up or get suspended, that stuff.
They just got Brandon Marshall in to kind of babysit him, right? Would you agree with that? That's the next move.
They brought in the machine for two reasons. Number one, yes, he's a player that's gone through a lot. He's been in the league, and he can help
They have
some young players in that room that he can help mature. But also, as East just said, they're not going to single up Odell. You're going to roll your coverage that way. Now you got the machine on the other side that is going to feast. You got to decide what you want to do. So this is just to help out the offense. I think it was a smart move.
Eric, let's circle back. We didn't have you on the show at this time. The playoff boat trip, you know, on the off week, going down or kicking it on the boat. Would that raise a red flag with you?
No, not at all. Hey, you know, what is it called? an off week. What you do on your off week is what you do on your off week. That's an off week. I mean, look, if he'd have went out there and he'd had a great time and it'd have been, they'd have even had more, and they'd have won the game, we wouldn't be talking about the off week.
It wouldn't be.
Eric was in L.A. every chance he got when he was playing.
That's kind of true.
Eric, how many teams did Randy Moss, the ultra-talented, one of the best receivers of all time, how many teams did he play for? Five. It can happen to anybody. Maybe teams move on. They can't handle the personality. It wouldn't shock me if the Giants said, you know what, if he doesn't clean up his act this year, we're just going to move on. I don't think it's the end of the world to move on from Odell Beckham. I think
it'll be a big mistake. I really do. He's a young player. I think it'd be a big mistake. I mean, I don't think he, you know, some of his antics can be a little distracting. But, you know, I take that back. As an NFL player, they're not distracting to us as a player. Man, we don't care. They're distracting to the media and the fans. I mean, these cell phones, my cell phone got stolen, so I can't pull mine out right now, you know. So, you know, the cell phones and the social media is what people read. Oh, my gosh. In my day, you know, you didn't see that. We could have had boat trips and everything else, and no one would have knew. Yes. And we did.
You did.
I'll say that.
If you're a NASCAR fan, there's a new podcast for you to subscribe to. Heritage Road, the podcast that drives you down memory lane, takes you under the hood, and gets you behind the wheel of America's favorite racing competition. They talk to the hardworking drivers, crewmen, and fans that made NASCAR possible then and now. From NASCAR royalty Bobby Allison to the broadcasters that brought racing into homes around the country, they've got all the stories you've probably never heard before. Hosted by the voice of Texas Motor Speedway, Rich Phillips, brought to you by Busch, the beer that has supported racing since 1979. Subscribe to Heritage Road today for free wherever you listen to podcasts. Now let's get back to the show.
Let's move on to Russell Wilson, who just hit the links with Michael Jordan and probably needed to unwind given Seattle's offseason. The Seahawks have been in the middle of some drama with reports of a growing rift between Wilson and the Legion of Boom dominating the headlines this summer. Listen, I'm someone who is concerned about the Seahawks locker room. There's too much tension and too much acrimony, too many things said anti-Russell Wilson for my liking. Having said that, I do think this could spin positively because this offseason has put pressure on everybody. If Richard Sherman doesn't perform at the highest level, he's going to get shredded. If Pete Carroll doesn't perform at the highest level, he's going to get shredded. Russell Wilson, Michael Bennett, all these guys that have run their mouth the entire offseason have pressure on them. So I think the chaos this offseason can go one of two ways. It'll either be great for them or this team's going to disintegrate and win six games.
And you know the pressure that you just described and the chaos that we keep talking about in that locker room that you're talking about, you know what that is? That's the normal Seahawk way. Those guys put that kind of pressure on one another to perform. They expect to play at the highest level. They expect to come out. There are guys that are perennial Pro Bowlers, perennial all-pro players, and they expect to play at that level. They know those expectations are on them. They put it on everyone across the board. These guys start – there are teams that start the season wanting to have a winning season. There are teams that start hoping to make the playoffs. These guys have gotten to a point that they start every year with the expectations of winning a Super Bowl. That's what has been developed there. So I don't think the chaos is going to do anything in a negative manner, just like you. I don't think there's any chaos. I've been saying it the entire offseason. This is how these guys are wired, and it's what they do.
I agree with that. I mean, some football teams are wired like that. I mean, look, in a locker room, you know, things that are said in the locker room can be blown out of proportion on news. I mean, it really can. But I'm sure the locker room's a lot closer than what you think. Because guys say, man, can you believe they're saying this? And they don't even know what they're talking about. You know, we said this, but, you know, this team has still never gotten over that Super Bowl loss with that the dumbest call in history. I mean, that just got the dumbest call. They can blame it on whoever they want to blame it on. But that was just a bad call. And I still believe that ball should have went to Marshawn Lynch. And I'll say it. they want the quarterback to be the superstar. And I like it. I like Russell Wilson. Nothing against Russell Wilson, but I think they wanted that face. They wanted him to be the face of winning the football game, holding the football up, saying, I won the game.
Okay, Eric, let's say that you're right. Mm-hmm. Dumbest decision. And it was a dumb decision not to give the ball to Marshawn Lynch. But isn't it also an equally dumb decision to still be irate about that 2 years later and still causing any kind of acrimony in your locker room and with your team because you can't let that go?
Jason, you know how hard it is to get to Super Bowl? I never got there. We one game away.
You were always holding out for more money.
Call it what you want. Let me dash this water on you. let me tell you something. It is hard to get there. Hard. And when you get there and you... We this is our game to win. It's ours to win or lose. And we make a dumb call like that. It's hard to let it go because they got close with again with Latin on the year before. They got close again. Yeah, the year before it got close.
No, they were going for their second title. Upset.
Yeah. Upset. That's
that
the
they didn't
upset.
Get their second.
So I mean, it's so hard to let it go. I can feel it. I mean, I feel that. I mean, I still think about that NFC Championship game. We lost 20-0, but I still think about it.
I know exactly what you mean. And I'm just quickly, Roger Craig, 1990. You say letting that one go? 1990. I love Catfish, but he fumbled that ball against the Giants when we were running out the clock. I still hadn't let it go. I don't think anybody on that team has ever let it go. And, you know, but we love the guy. We know he wasn't trying to do it, but you don't forget that, man.
You don't.
It's too hard.
Here's the only problem, guys. If this has been bubbling up for 3 years, something else must have triggered the fact that they were ready to trade Sherman. They were actively making calls. Man, I've had enough. We got to get Richard Sherman out of here. That's how bad it got in Seattle. And then the next step, Michael Bennett and Richard Sherman championing bring in Kaepernick. That's a definite indictment of they're not sold on their quarterback.
Well, number
two stars on a vocal defense.
They're saying that they can use the guy as a backup number one. And Michael Bennett, you fail to repeat Michael Bennett's words saying that we feel like he's a top five quarterback. We feel like we have one of the Russell Wilson's one of the top quarterbacks in the league. He wasn't saying come in and replace my quarterback. He was like, I got a quarterback. He said, I think this guy can help. And as far as Sherm and the trade rumors and all of those things, that's something that Seattle does every single year. They see what they can do, and Sherm was privy to that information. It wasn't a big deal.
They did put him on notice.
It wasn't a big deal.
They put Sherman on notice.
I think when they played the Rams, and they went for it on the goal and playing the Rams, and they hard, they're in a hard game. But they went for it on fourth and one and got stuffed, and he kind of went off on the sidelines again. But still, like I say, man, it's just when you see something over and over, it's like, I've seen this show before. You're doing it again. You're killing me. You did it 2 years ago. Here we doing the same thing again. And for the quarterback situation, he's right. It's about having a backup quarterback, an adequate backup. If something happened to Russell, who is the backup of the Seahawks? I don't even know.
Trevon Boykin, I believe.
Okay. That's who it is, Boykin.
That's who they had last year, too. Mm-hmm. Nobody was calling for a backup last year.
And Russell had
the year before.
And what they saw Russell play on a bad leg.
Right, he was hurt.
Just like that Rams game where they lost the game 9-6 because they couldn't do anything offensively. They need a backup quarterback.
We're going to put Eric in check in the next segment. We're going to bring Jeff Fisher out here to do the segment with us.
Bring him out here. I didn't talk to him anyway.
Hey, it's Jason McIntyre, and before we move into the next topic, I want to take some time to tell you about ZipRecruiter. I started thebiglead.com, and I know firsthand how much of a challenge it is to put the right team together. You got to hire the right people. You cannot find the best candidates by posting your job just to one website. You need to post it to all the sites. At ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to over 100 job sites with just one click. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in less than 24 hours. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes nationwide. And right now, our listeners can start forming their own winning team on ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/speak. That's ZipRecruiter.com/speak. Try it for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/speak, and you can start building your perfect team right away. Now let's get back to the show.
All right, welcome back. Eric Dickerson and Jason McIntyre back with us. Eric Davis sitting in for Colin Cowherd. Let's move to last year's best rookie, Dak Prescott, who is facing sky-high expectations after an incredible first year. But Dak isn't shying away from the pressure, saying that his stats and accomplishments, quote, mean nothing if you don't have a championship. All right, listen, I'm someone who spent all last year being skeptical of Dak Prescott. Early on, I thought Carson Wentz was a better player. Dak made it through the year. I thought he played tremendously in the playoff game, even in a loss. I don't have any lack of confidence in Dak Prescott. I certainly don't have any lack of confidence in that offensive line. It's, you know, they got three guys that are the best in the league. I don't see the Cowboys backing up. And I know they've had the suspension of David Irvin, and they need to fix some things on defense or improve some things. Cowboys will not back up. They may win. They may not win 13 regular season games. They will win a postseason game, and they will likely win their division. And winning one postseason game will put them in the NFC Championship, and I think they got a shot.
I like the fact that this team will be in the playoffs and that the young guys will continue moving. But the question is about the Super Bowl expectations. excuse me. It's a different type of pressure that they have on them now. Zeke and Dak Prescott. I think that they are legit players in this league, but I don't think they had the same type pressure on them last year. Even Dak, I don't think he had the type, because Dak was in a situation that if things fell apart, you go back to Romo. He's the rookie quarterback. No one thinks anything about it. He has the keys to the franchise now, and the expectations are for him to win a Super Bowl now. And he's talking about it. The way he played, the record that they had, it's added pressure. So I'm kind of taking the wait and see how they do it. I'm with you. I think they'll be a playoff team. I don't think they're going to win 13 games. I don't think they're going to win their division. But I do believe that they're going to be in the playoffs.
I think it comes down to injuries. I mean, you know, you can't foresee injuries. And the Cowboys are a very good football team. Yeah. I think the offensive line is the best offensive line in football. They have Dez Bryant start off healthy, you know, with Dak Prescott. I saw Dak playing in the preseason when they played the Rams, the first preseason game. And I was impressed in that game. And I said, who is this kid? I mean, he reminded me so much of Warren Moon then. So when Tony Romo got hurt, and after the first week, they were like, we're not sure what's wrong. The second week, third week. By the third week, I say, he the real deal. I mean, I just felt he was the real deal. I think that he can handle the pressure. We have to see if he's going to have, you know, they always say the sophomore jinx. I didn't have that till 2,000 yards, but I got to throw that out there.
Don't do yourself patting yourself on the back.
I'm just going to pat myself on the back.
It's all right.
But, you know.
Wendell Tyler would have had 2,500.
He went behind
Wendell
that Tyler all
year.
He went always back. What's wrong with you, man?
Come on, that's who he is.
Well, I played for the Rams.
Lawrence McCutcheon would have had 3,000 yards.
Okay, guys, back to 2017.
Okay. All right, back to 2017.
But in all seriousness, I don't see a reason to be concerned. Because remember, This is not that young of a team. They're just young with Dak and Ezekiel. 2014, they almost were in the NFC title game. They lost that freak game to the Cowboys on the Dez Bryant catch. This is a team that's got a lot of veteran leadership besides the offensive line. You know, you got veteran wide receivers, Jason Witten at tight end. I think this is a 12-win team. If Super Bowl or bust for me with the Cowboys.
Well, Super Bowl or bust, you still have to worry about the aspect of the coaching staff. A lot of these things, and that's, I still don't think Jason Garrett is a big game coach. So all those expectations that you have for winning a Super Bowl and those guys on the field, you still have to understand for you to win at that level and win 12, 13 games when the expectations are for you to do that, you're going to need that coach to put you in the perfect situations 3-4 times a season. And I don't know if Jason Garrett is that guy, because there's nothing in his track record that says he is.
You've made a good point. I want to go back to the crazy points you made earlier. Who's winning the division, if not the Cowboys?
The Giants.
Eli Manning and how inconsistent he is.
He beat that
Cowboys
team.
Twice, didn't he?
He beat them twice last year.
I'm just saying.
They didn't win the division last year.
Beat them twice last year, and that defense that they put together and assembled, I think another year together, they're going to be better defensively. And we already talked about the fact they brought in Brandon. That's going to change what they can do offensively.
How's that Giants running game? I haven't checked in on them lately. How's that offensive line?
Bringing in the machine and have it.
He makes a hell of a
point. That is a good point.
That's a good point.
I get what you're saying, but bringing in that that other receiver, it's going to change the way you're going to be able to load up your front, because you cannot single those guys up outside, those two receivers. If that's going to help the offensive line in itself.
Well, the guy they should get rid of, you know, I think they should get rid of Odell
Beckham. Oh, that's
he might be gone. He might be gone. So,
yeah, you're right.
For, you know, so they have no problem.
Don't give him a ton of money right now.
All right, welcome back to the show. Eric Davis sitting in for Colin Cowherd. Eric Dickerson is back with us. And we're joined now by former NFL and college coach Charlie Weiss, who won 3 Super Bowls in New England. All right, guys, let's move to the Patriots, who are the overwhelming favorites to win the Super Bowl this year after adding big pieces like Stephon Gilmore and Brandon Cooks to their championship roster. But with Tom Brady nearing 40 and Bill Belichick posing for magazine covers, some people are speculating the end of the Belichick-Brady era is near. I'm the person speculating that it's coming to an end. I think they have gone all in to try to – I think they're going to try to go 19-0 this year and stick the landing. And Tom Brady, I think for sure, I think Giselle's ready for him to retire. And I think if I'm Bill Belichick and I get a 6th Super Bowl, what more do I have to prove? He's 65 years old. I say, like Bob Stoops at Oklahoma, man, get out while you can still enjoy life, while you can still – and, again, when you've accomplished as much as Bill and Tom have, I really think if they win the Super Bowl this year, I think they both walk off into the sunset.
And based on what evidence?
Speculation.
This is an objective league. Based on what evidence? You bought Tommy playing at the top of his game.
He's
playing at the top of his game. Jimmy Garoppolo is the backup. There's a one guy that's a starter and one guy that's a backup. And he's playing at the top of his game.
What quarterback in his 40s has won in the postseason?
What quarterback has won this many times? I mean, he's playing at the top of his game. Neither one of those guys is ready to ride off into the sunset. They're having too much fun winning. And by the way, their goal is to win 19-0 every year. This is not any different than last year or the year before. 19-0 is the goal there. Okay, obviously winning the AFC East is first. Okay, and then getting a bye would be second. Okay, because those things are critical when it comes to the playoffs. But at the end of the day, it's about winning it all.
You don't think Tom Brady's wife is ready for him to retire?
I think she might like him getting out of the house, to tell you the truth.
I actually thought that if they won another one, if they won this year, that both of the guys would decide, Belichick and Brady would say that was enough, and they would move on. When that didn't,
I agree with both of your logic of why. Like your point about loading up with guys that could play now instead of using draft choices that you could develop. But the bottom line is, neither one of those guys isn't having fun. And football, when you're winning, you're having fun.
That is
okay. True. And why walk away when you're winning and having fun?
You ever been to a craps table? You get on a roll and you need to walk away before it goes the other way.
But Coach, this is what I'm saying.
That's right, but I'm usually the one that keeps on rolling.
See, like I said, I thought going into last season if they won it. That's what I was saying. I thought going into last season if they won it, they'd walk away. When they didn't walk away, I'm with you on it. I think they're going to ride it out until if they don't have to put Garoppolo, if they don't believe Garoppolo is the guy that's ready to take over right now, because this deal's about to be up. If they don't think he's the guy that's ready to take over and they're not ready to give him the big deal, I think they're going to ride it out for a little bit longer.
Or if they can get him at a price, okay, because you never can have enough quarterbacks. I mean, you're only one play away from Garoppolo. Grapple being a quarterback.
Well, I mean, they'd have to franchise.
And the other thing is, you don't know what they think of Jacoby. What if Jacoby's coming along nicely, where they feel they have that third quarterback that could be a number two, that could be the backup? You know, it affects the value of your quarterbacks. Your third guy affects the value of the second guy as well. It's not just the second guy affecting the value of the first guy.
I agree with you 100%. When you said they having fun, when you winning. Man, let me tell you, when you win in football, anything, you go. Let's go to losing first. When you losing and you go in the locker room, look at the trash on this floor. That's why we're losing. We got a dirty locker room. When you winning, man, look at the trash. Everything just fun. We just a bunch of guys having fun.
Come on, let's go pick up that trash.
Let's go pick that trash up. We're gonna throw trash at each other. I'm telling you, man. When you win, I would play until they say, okay, it's time for you to go.
Okay, but hold on, Eric. Hold on. What about on Mondays after you just went to war on Sunday and you're laying in bed dealing with the pain? Again, that's not fun.
Okay, but
Tom Brady's not a running back. He's a quarterback.
His wife's on TV talking about concussion.
When they touch him too, I've seen him. They hit him too hard. Oh Lord, they throw flags. The cameraman even throw flags. That's a flag. How dare you throw him that hard?
They do protect the quarterbacks a lot. Now he gets hit. He gets hit. Nothing like these guys got hit. He gets hit. But I'll tell you what, he's the first guy in the building on Monday morning. He's already in the hot tub. He's got treatment. He got treatment already. He got a massage guy coming in to start working on his body because as he's gotten older, he's changed. I mean, at 22 years old, he was like any other 22-year-old. Yeah. But now he eats different. He trains different. He's so focused. He's so focused on being able to play as long as he possibly can. Trust me, I promise you one thing. When he believes he's on a downward spiral, he will walk away.
All right, let me throw another one at you then. John Elway went out on back-to-back Super Bowls. It was still fun for John Elway, but he went home because you get to a certain age. This game is hard,
yeah,
man.
But Terrell Davis was carrying that team. John Elway wasn't carrying the team.
John could hardly walk.
And I was about to say, John could
tell you. John could hardly walk. John could hardly walk. John could tell you.
He'll tell you his body was shutting down.
John could hardly walk.
And Charlie's right that TD was carrying that team at that point.
I can't believe you're a quarterback guy. I'm an offensive coordinator.
I was an offensive coordinator. When you look at it, you know what you have. There were plenty of years with the Patriots where our whole deal was hand the ball off, play action on first and second down, and on third down, go ahead and get in a drop back and go ahead and throw it and pick up the first down. I mean, we were a conservative by nature group. Okay, think about when this guy started playing. When he started playing, we were dinking and dunking, and everyone's, oh, he has no arm. He can't throw it down the field. It wasn't that he couldn't throw it down the field. We had a really stout defense, and we were playing to play the game conservatively on offense and win the game by playing a complementary game between the offense and the defense. As Tommy got better, it became open and opened up, and the rest is history.
He sounds like he knows what's going on with the Patriots. I'm the Patriots expert. I'm the X's and O's king. Didn't Bernie Parmalee or Rick Minter tell you, man, that nobody knows more about football than me?
That's okay. I'm just going to throw my two cents in.
There you go.
It just so happens on that team, look it, I have a lot of admiration for that organization. They did a lot for me. Okay, they did a lot for me personally and professionally. But as I watched the game from afar, it's pretty easy to see they're having a hell of a lot of fun playing. So unless those two guys see any reason to walk away,
Does Bill have any other interest besides football? I mean,
you saw him on that cover.
Yeah, you see
him. Looking all uncomfortable.
doesn't that make you think maybe that's coming to the end? Would he have done that?
Can I throw you one reason why? No.
What?
Do you realize he has two sons on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, there's
nothing better than being around your kids at work as well. You walk in every day. You don't talk to them too much. Just a little fist bump. How's it going? He's stealing time with those two kids. He's around them more and more every day. Exactly. It's more of a reason to hang in there. Help groom those kids till they can stand on their own two feet.
All right, welcome back. Eric Davis is in for Cowherd today, and we're joined once again by Jason McIntyre and now NBA champion Eddie House. Let's move to the NBA, where Gordon Hayward decided to leave the Jazz yesterday, signing with the Celtics for 4 years and $128 million. Hayward's decision to leave Utah leaked to the press early, but his agent initially denied the report. Then several hours later, Hayward finally confirmed it on the Players Tribune, prompting the now standard jersey burning by fans.
That's ridiculous.
I have a bit of a small issue with how he handled it in terms of props to Chris Haynes, who reported this first, And then it was clear that he's like, oh, I got this orchestrated in it, and I'm Gordon Hayward, and I want to put out something on the Players Tribune. And Chris Haynes had blown that. And so I don't want to ding him too bad. He wanted to orchestrate or, you know, go off into the sunset with, you know, all these players now are writing their own 2,000-word goodbye pieces. I don't have a real issue with it. But, you know, everyone needs to kill the phoniness. Let's quit with the magazines and the website I'm going. Just, I think Kevin Durant is the guy that he
no,
just
LeBron, kinda, LeBron started this.
No, 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 but I'm talking about Kevin Durant just kind of nonchalantly made his announcement and kept it moving. I think follow the Durant model.
No, I agree with it. He's upset that the information got out and you someone told the truth about it. You had all these stories written. If I go to this team, if I go to that team, just decide what you want to do and move on. And you send in all these things to Utah. You never wanted to be in Utah. He didn't want to be drafted by Utah. He tried to leave Utah earlier in his career, and they matched an offer sheet when he tried to leave. He's been wanting to get out of Utah. So it's okay to say, I gave you 7 years, we couldn't get it done, and we're going to move on. And not make it this big issue. That's my thing with the players are doing all this in basketball. They're trying to please everybody.
The letter, to me, wasn't even that good of a look. He didn't thank any of his teammates.
Yeah. No.
He misspelled the president's name of the team. You know, again, this orchestrated fraudulent stuff for the benefit of social media, virtue signaling. Cut it out.
I don't really have a problem with how he left, and this is the reason. It's damn if you do, damn if you don't. LeBron, when he went and made the decision, donated the money to charity, people were in an uproar with how he made that decision. I think that's not a problem. That's not an issue. Kevin Durant did it quietly, but his decision to go to the Warriors, people were upset about that. It seemed like everybody's caught up in their feelings when somebody makes a decision for themselves. And I don't...
You didn't thank anybody? You don't have a problem with that?
I mean...
His teammates?
Does he really have to at the end of the day? And if he did thank somebody, you said he wrote a note and he spelled the dude's name wrong. You could poke holes in everything that somebody does.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
So, I think you're onto something.
You know what I mean?
Eddie, you just changed my mind. LeBron's decision should be the blueprint. Nobody knew. Leading up, it was like drama, you know? He comes out, makes a decision, wow, shocker, and everybody reacts. But this he held July 4th hostage for 5 hours with, oh, maybe I'm going, maybe I need to rethink about it, my agent's going to release this. That was dumb. Gordon Hayward's a smart guy. This was dumb.
But this is the thing. It's not like Gordon Hayward is a super, superstar. We're making a big deal out of a guy who's a number two or number three player. So that's the thing that's crazy to me. You know what I mean?
I burned the burgers because I was, like, checking Twitter. Oh, my gosh, did I miss the Gordon Hayward decision?
That's the thing that I'm getting at. It's not that big a deal. Just decide where you want to go and move on. You told someone what was going on. That's why the report got out. Now you're going to start all of this backtracking. Well, no, I haven't made a decision. Yes, you have. And you know why I know that report was true? You signed with Boston. Okay? So the information was out there. Just put it out there and keep moving.
I'll say, as a writer, 2,000 words, he can't do that in a couple of hours. So clearly this, whoever wrote it or he wrote it, he did it the day before at some point. Again, that's how you know he's lying, is he comes out later with this 2,000-word piece. Again, I'm a writer. It takes a little time to write 2,000 words.
You know, I think Russell Westbrook saw this, and he's going to decide next summer to release his decision on Snapchat. I think that's probably where we're headed with this, right? That's the next step?
Yeah, man. At the end of the day, I don't know why we're making so much fuss over Gordon Hayward. And at the end of the day...
Hater.
Huh? I'm not a hater.
No.
I'm not a hater at all. I'm just saying I think he's a two or... Two at best and a three guy, a complimentary guy, not a superstar. But he will make the Celtics better, but we're making a fuss over something that's a regular free agent.
Maybe we should be knocking the Players Tribune. Why are they even publishing this?
And I think, actually, he might be mad because he wasn't able to let people know first that it was leaked. I think that might be a part of the reason why he's kind of upset as well. So, I mean, fair enough for him.